have been on the series, Who Am I?, for the past month. We're continuing on. There's actually three more weeks in this series. It's a very long series. And so I would highly encourage you that if you've missed part of this series, that you hop online and you listen to what you've missed. The handouts are on there. The audio's on there. Because if you're coming in tonight, you're missing a huge part of the picture. Because the past month, what we've been talking about has been the fact that we have been changed. We've been looking at what God says about us and the fact that we've been transformed fundamentally as people. That we are no longer who we were. That if you could look at me and see on the outside what's happened to me on the inside, you would see a completely different person. Someone that doesn't look anything like who I was before. And it's very, very important for us to understand that transformation has happened. The next few weeks, what we're going to be talking about is who are we now? What has changed for us? I use that analogy an example of, imagine if you were a dog, that you were a golden retriever, and that your fairy godmother came and tapped you on the nose with her wand, and you were transformed into a human. You would be completely different. You would be a human, fully in every way possible. You would no longer be a dog in any way, shape, or form. Now you are a human, but you could still act like you were before. You could still act like a dog. But it would be ridiculous for a human to act like a dog. That just doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense for us now to act like who we are now, or to be who we are now, and to act like who we were. That doesn't make any sense. God has transformed us into something completely new. And so tonight, we're going to start talking about who you are now. If you were that person who had been transformed from a dog to a human, and you were acting like a golden retriever and going to fetch sticks and barking at cars, and I would want to tell you what a human is like. That's who you are now. I would want to tell you how humans behave and what kind of a person or what kind of a creature you are now, that you are human and how humans act. And so the next few weeks we're going to look at who you are now so you can start to change your thinking about who you are and start walking as the person that God has made you. Let me pray and we'll get into what we're talking about. Lord, just thank you for these truths that we're going to look at tonight. It's just so great to be reminded of the change that you've caused in us and the things that are true about us, because we live in a world that we're surrounded by a world that's not changed. And it's easy when we're surrounded by that world to convince ourselves that we're like them in many ways. But you've changed us. And I pray tonight as we look at these things and as we study what you say about us, that we'll take you at your word. Even if we don't see some of this stuff coming out in our life, that tonight we'll choose to believe what you say about us. And that tomorrow we'll choose to believe what you say about us. And this week we'll choose to believe what you say about us. Because that belief will transform our lives. Pray that you would make me adequate tonight and that I'd live dependent upon you as I share your scripture tonight. Pray this in your name. Amen. Something that came to my mind when we were talking, when we were praying right there, is something else that I wanted to express. The reason why it's important to know these things that we're going to look at tonight. And you'll see that there's a lot of things on this list. We have way more points than we normally do. It's because we're going to go through these relatively quickly, but I want to touch on these. There's so many things that have changed for us that we could be here for a year looking at all the things that have changed for us. So I'm just going to briefly touch on things that have changed for us. But the important thing for us to understand with these things that we're going to look at is that you will act what you believe. Just like someone who had been transformed from a golden retriever to a human, if they believed that they were still a golden retriever, how would they act? Like a golden retriever. Because if they believe that, of course they're going to act that way. Why wouldn't they act that way? But if they truly believed that they were human and no longer a dog, how would they act? What? Like a human, right? It's so important for us to look at what God says about us and for us to take God at his word and believe him when he says these things about us that we're going to look at tonight. Let's start with 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 18. 792. And just like in previous weeks, all the passages are going to be up here, but I'd encourage you to open them up too. Especially this one, because we've got multiple points coming out of this one passage. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 792, is that what you said?
Yes.
792. Starting in verse 16. Starts out with something we've already looked at in verse 16. It says this: "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." Okay, we looked at that a few weeks ago and began to understand that we have been changed completely. Just like a dog being changed to a human, a dog and a human are two different creatures, two different species. We are a different species than we were before. We are a different creature than we were before. Things have completely changed for us. And he goes on and talks about this change that has occurred and what has occurred. Verse 18, he says, "All this is from God." This change that has occurred is completely from God. It's not from us. We have not done anything. It's all God's doing. "Who reconciled us to himself through Christ." We did not reconcile ourselves. We did not. To reconcile means to make a broken relationship good again. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, where you've had a friend that maybe you've had a falling out with them, a really big fight or something. Maybe you haven't talked to them in weeks, or maybe you haven't talked to them in years or something. And then something changes. There just comes this point of forgiveness, and you come back together, and that friendship is restored. That's reconciliation. And God says, I have reconciled you to me. God has reconciled us to him. He's restored that relationship. And he did it through Christ Jesus. We were enemies of God. We were at war with God. We looked at that the very first week. We were at war with God. We were at odds with God. Not even necessarily intentionally. There's not many people out in this world that are like, "Man, I hate that God guy. I'm going to do everything I can to battle against God." Although there are people that are that way. But just by who we were, by our very nature, we have rejected God. And we stood as enemies of him. And he reconciled us. He settled the conflict between him and us. Now we have passed from God's wrath to God's blessing. We've passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. We've stopped being enemies of God, and now we are friends of God. We're sons and daughters of God. We've been reconciled to God. That relationship has been restored. And understand, guys, this is completely true about you all the time. These are things that are part of who you are now. This is the new creation that you are. He said the old is gone, the new is here. And he's explaining what the new is. The new you is someone who's reconciled to God. There isn't times of the day that you are not reconciled to God and times of the day that you are reconciled to God. There aren't some weeks or months or years where suddenly that relationship has been broken again, and then, oh, it's going to be repaired again here for a few months, and then, oh, it's broken again, and then it's repaired. No. You stand as people that, if you've trusted Jesus with your life, which all of these things have to do with people who have been transformed, who have trusted Jesus with their lives, who've given everything to follow this God that we follow, you're reconciled to Him. Every moment, every second, every millisecond of every day, you stand reconciled to God. It's just who you are. You didn't do it. God did it. But it's who you are. And actually, everything we're going to look at tonight is something God did, and something God's doing. It's nothing we've done. He goes on, second part of that verse, and says, well, let me read the first part. It says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Not only did He reconcile us to Himself, not only did he fix that relationship with us, but He also gave us the ministry, which means the ability to serve people around us. We've been called into service to serve the world as an ambassador for Christ. What's an ambassador? Yeah. Yes, in sci-fi movies, if you were an alien ambassador, you would represent the aliens. Yeah, in real life, ambassadors are people who go from one country to another country. So they live in a foreign land, but they represent the interests of the country they came from. So we have ambassadors all across the world that are in that country representing the United States' interests in that country, representing us as a people to that people. God has made us ambassadors for Him, which means we have a ministry of representing God to the people we're around all the time. To me, I go, this is a ridiculous plan that God has. Why would God use us to represent Him? We are messed up. What is He thinking? Well, He's transformed us into people who are ambassadors, who are representatives for Him. And verse 20 says, we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. Do you understand that God is reaching the world, is impacting the world with Himself through us? We are the way that God is representing Himself to the world. Again, I go, that's a little ridiculous. You look at the Old Testament, and the Israelites were God's ambassadors. The Israelites were the people that were representing God to the world. How good of a job did they do in general? What was that? Bad job. There were some times where they did a great job. But generally, throughout history, the Israelites did a bad job. And God is using us to make His appeal to the world to be reconciled to Him. We are the tool God is using to tell people, come to God. God really wants to repair His relationship with every single human being on the planet. And He's using us to bring the message of reconciliation. That is who you are. You are an ambassador. Now, whether you represent God well or you represent God badly, it's not the issue. The issue is that you are a representative of God. He goes on in verse 21 and says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus was on this earth. He was tempted in every way that we were tempted, yet did not sin. He was the only man ever to walk the earth without sinning. And understand, guys, because we minimize this so much because we go, Jesus was God. Jesus set aside his majesty and became a man. Jesus was in every way a man like we are men and women. He was human in every way. He lived his life dependent upon God. A human dependent upon God, which is the way to live the perfect life. He did it every moment of every day. Did not sin. So that he could be the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He, the perfect lamb, took all our sin, every single bit of it, onto himself to be a sacrifice for our sin. And took all of our sin away. Past, present, future. All of it. He took it all away. And was it so that we could feel better about ourselves? No, that's not what he says here. That sometimes happens. That as forgiveness comes, that there's a sense of good feeling with that. But that wasn't the reason for it. Was it so that we could go to heaven? A lot of people think that that's the issue, that Jesus died so we could go to heaven. That wasn't the reason that Jesus died on the cross. That is a result of it. But God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that the reason why he died on the cross was so that we might become the righteousness of God. That we would become God's righteousness on earth. And righteousness just means the representation of a right relationship, of a good relationship, of what it looks like to have a good relationship with God. We are living, breathing examples of what a good relationship with God looks like. And that's why Jesus died on the cross. So that we could represent that to the world. You are right with God in every way possible. There is nothing lacking in your relationship to God. There is nothing more for you to do. There is nothing more for you to say. That relationship is perfected. You are right with God in every way. Guys, understand that this is who you are. If you're a follower of Christ, this is who you are by your very nature. You are not sometimes the righteousness of God. You are at all times. You have become the righteousness of God. Hebrews 10:14 says this. You guys can look up here. It says, "For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." By Jesus' sacrifice, he has made us perfect forever. Which perfect means complete. Not lacking anything. Just similar to the idea we were just talking about, there is nothing missing from my standing with God and from your standing with God. There's nothing more you have to prove to God to make you right before God. You are perfect. You have a perfect standing with God. from God's point of view, you are not lacking anything. Do you guys get that? There is nothing more you need to do. There is nothing more you need to say. Before God, you are sinless. You are accepted as fully complete, not lacking anything. That is who you are. And that's not just some times of the day. That's every moment of the day you stand perfect before God. Complete. Romans 6, 1 through 10. I'm just going to read through this quickly. There's lots of ideas here. But I want to communicate the overall idea of this passage. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized, were placed into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in his death, in a death like this, we certainly also will be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin, has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God." He repeats himself so many times to get this idea of a cross. You, just as Jesus died, which means he was no longer living, his pulse was no longer beating, his heart was no longer beating, he was dead, completely dead. You died also, just like Jesus died. And just like Jesus was placed into a tomb and buried, you also were buried. And just as Jesus on the third day rose again victoriously, you were risen up again. God did this. God rose you up to a new life. He gave you life again. You died, you were buried, and you've been raised together with Jesus. And the whole purpose of what he's trying to get across here is the old person you were was a sinner. You were someone who, by your very nature, were a slave to sin. Sin was your master. That person is dead and buried. You will never, ever, ever be that person again. Understand that. Believe that. You are risen from the dead for a completely new life that is freed from the power of sin. Sin no longer has power over you. Understand, I get that probably what is going through many of your heads right now is, well, sin occurs. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Sin still occurs in my life. But that is because you have bought into the fact that that's just who you are. That is not who you are. You are no longer someone who is under the power of sin. Sin no longer has mastery over you. Sin no longer has power over you. That is not who you are. You are someone who is now a saint, a walking, holy person. That is who you are. And put simply, you no longer have to sin. And don't believe anything other than that. Because Romans 6 will tell you far different than that. You no longer have to sin. You're no longer even someone who does sin by your nature. Second Corinthians 5, 21. I'm sorry, not that. Romans, John 3, 18 says this. What is it? 7:27. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That is not talking really about who you are, other than it does mention that you're not condemned. The focus I want to put on this verse is the fact that you did stand condemned. Every human that has ever walked the earth stands condemned. They're on death row. And that's because of our thinking, our actions. Everything about us was rejection of God, was choosing to go our own human way. And we deserved condemnation. That's what we deserved. Please understand that you do not deserve anything but to be condemned. But we go to Romans 8, 1 and 2, and you can just look up here for that if you guys don't have it open. It says, therefore, so awesome, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. To be condemned means your fate is sealed. You're guilty. You're standing before the judge, the gavel comes down, you are guilty. And understand, you are guilty. Every single one of us is guilty. Our fate should be sealed. But if you follow Jesus with your life, neither you nor I will ever receive the result of the fact that we are guilty. We will never receive the verdict of guilty. We will never receive the fate we deserve. That gavel is going to come down, and we are so, so guilty, but it's going to come down and say, not guilty. It is coming down right now on you saying, not guilty. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation, now and forever, for you. Understand, that has nothing to do with what you do or what you say. It's who you are. It's who God has made you. It's what God has declared for your life. He has made you someone who is no longer condemned, both now and for eternity. That's actually why we gain heaven, is we're not condemned. We don't deserve that. God's made that way for us. A little farther down in Romans 8, if you're open to it, you can just look down a little bit farther. It says this. It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. He starts out and says that for those God foreknew, which means knew beforehand. God knew you before you were even born. God knew you before the creation of the world. God knew you intimately, understood you before the creation of the world. He knew every day of your life before you lived one of them. He's not surprised by your action. He's not surprised by your inaction. He's not surprised by anything that's occurring in your life. He knew you before you were even born. And this God who foreknew you, who knew you would be someone who would come to follow him and give up your life to follow him, he is also predestined you, which predestined just means this is your destiny. If you're a follower of Christ, this is your destiny. Your destiny is to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed means to fit a mold. Do any of your guys' moms use bundt pans? Or have you ever used a bundt pan before? You guys know what a bundt pan is? I should have brought a bundt pan. It's one of those little round pans that has like the little shapes in it, and you cook you bake a cake in it, and when you flip it over and you take the pan off, the cake looks like the image or the pan that it was baked in, right? Or like a Jell-O mold, you pour Jell-O into Santa Claus's face or whatever, and you flip it over, and oh, there's Santa Claus's face in the Jell-O mold. It takes whatever you put into it, it takes the shape of the mold. You were predestined. The destiny of your life is to fit the mold of Jesus. That you would look like the image of Jesus. You would be a picture of Jesus. Jesus left this earth and left his spirit in you and me so that instead of one man representing Christ on this earth, what a relationship with Christ on this earth looks like, instead there would be thousands of people that were molded, that their destiny is to be molded into the image of Christ. So that you can walk your campus at school, you can be around the people that you're around on a daily basis, and they would be able to be in the presence of a Jesus lookalike. That you would be conformed into his image. It says that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, that he would be the first Jesus, and that there would be a bunch of little Jesuses after him. A whole bunch. That is your destiny. Understand that this is a certainty for you. This is something God is doing in your life. It is not based on you. He is conforming you into the image of his son. And he is going to do what it takes to make that happen. And sometimes that means drastic measures in our lives. But whatever it takes, God is going to mold you, to conform you into the image of his son. The next verse, right after that, goes on and says, and those he predestined, who he gave that destiny to be conformed into the image of his son, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those who he justified, he also glorified. He has done three things in your life. And one of them, well, I'll get to that one. But the first one is this. The first one is that he has called you. Okay, which is just like it sounds. It would be like me saying, Ross, get up here. Don't get up here. But if I said, Ross, get up here. Get on stage. I would be calling Ross up on stage, right? Or if you are in your class at school and their intercom comes over and says, Heather, Davey, please come to the office. You're being called to the office, right? And you go to the office. You were called by God into a relationship with him. That was his doing. He called you into a relationship with him. He justified you, which means he made it so that when that gavel came down, the verdict was not guilty. He made you not guilty as a person. And he, which is justified, he also glorified you, which means he has given you his glory. He has made you like Christ. That destiny that we have to be like Christ, one day we will be just like Christ, which is so different than who we were before. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have lived in a state in our past where we have fallen short of God's glory. You are currently a person who it's so certain that you are going to attain to God's glory that he actually puts in past tense here. He says you're glorified, which actually won't happen for quite some time. But it's so certain that it's going to happen in your life that it's in the past tense. It's actually literally, the word here is in the past tense. Because from God's perspective, it's already done. You're already going to attain to the glory of God. You are not going to fall short any longer. The amazing thing, if you got it open, he goes on right in the very next verse and says, if this is true, if he's predestined us to be conformed in the image of his son, if he's called us, if he's justified us, if he's glorified us, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Honestly, if God is working all this out in our lives, we get so stressed out about whether I'm reading the Bible enough, or whether I'm spending enough time with God, or whether I'm praying enough. And those are all great pursuits. But we get really stressed in our Christian life, and we need to recognize that we have a God who is working out his best in our life. He is conforming us into the image of his son. I can't even stand in the way of what God wants to do in my life. He's gonna accomplish that. Next thing, real quickly, you guys can look up here for Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of human beings who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I say that verse just for us to understand that God is justly already starting to reveal his wrath. And his wrath is only going to get larger and end up consuming most of the world. Humanity is under God's wrath, and we deserve it. Understand that. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve what we should receive from God. And we all should receive wrath from God. But Romans 5:9 says, since we have now been justified, we just talked about being justified, by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We deserve God's wrath. I hope you guys understand that. I hope you don't look at your life and go, well, my life's not too bad. I don't really deserve the wrath of God. We deserve it fully, completely. We rejected God. We were enemies of God. We were enemies of our Creator. It's ridiculous. The God who gave us life and breath, we decided to give him the finger. Reject him. Screw you, God. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve it. But we've been justified. We don't deserve, or we deserve God's wrath, but we will be saved from God's wrath through what Jesus has done. We are never, ever, ever going to get what we deserve. Again, this doesn't fluctuate. There aren't some months where, God's wrath is definitely coming that month. And then the next month, looks like you've turned things around, so God's wrath is not coming. We will never receive. Last one for tonight is out of Colossians chapter 2, 8:07. Or you can just look up here, guys. It says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Which means Christ was the full representation of God. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. That's awesome. The very character of God is revealed completely in the person of Jesus and was demonstrated through every action of Jesus' life. Not just the ones that are recorded in Scripture, but the ones that aren't recorded. Jesus' life was a representation of God's character. And in Christ, because of Christ, because of what God has done through Christ, you and I have been brought to fullness. We have been brought to the fullness of God. Really, we've been brought to the fullness of Christ is more literally what he's saying there. That just as God, the fullness of God was revealed in Christ, the fullness of Christ is revealed in us. We have been brought to the fullness of Christ. That means we are lacking nothing We are lacking nothing, understand that, of the power of Christ, of the character of Christ, of the love of Christ. We are not lacking any of that. It kills me when people look at Christ's life and look at that standard and go, well, and they see their lives not living up to that standard, and they go, well, I'm not Jesus. That can't be the standard for my life. You don't understand. You don't get what God says about you. You've been transformed into someone who has the fullness of who Christ is. Because he's given us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, the very Spirit of Jesus lives in your heart. You have everything of Christ's character, his power, his love. It is all in you. You have been brought to the fullness of Christ. Again, not because of anything you have done. I love these verses because they continue to remind us that we did none of this. We didn't even take one inch step towards any of this. This was all done by God. So when you love like Christ, when you are able to avoid a temptation in your life because you trust God when that situation comes, it's all because God has brought you to the fullness of Christ. You are a little Christ. That's actually what Christian means. It's a little Christ. I hate that word because it's so diluted in our world, but it is so accurate. You are a little Jesus. And I know we've covered so much stuff tonight, and I know that you guys can't take away everything from tonight because it's just too much. It's too overwhelming. But as you look at these things, which of these things did you not know before tonight? Which of these things was something new that God showed you tonight? Which of these are you most thankful for? When you look back at that list, what is most significant to you out of that list? What sticks out to you? And what needs to change in your thinking based on these verses? Because that's really what this is about. These things are true about us. They've been true about us from day one, from when we trusted our lives to Christ. These things have been true. What needs to change is the way we think about ourselves, the way we view ourselves, the way we view what God has done in our lives. So what needs to change? And what do you need to do starting tonight? Down at the bottom, what are three lessons that God is teaching you or reminding you of tonight? I'll give you guys just a minute or two to fill.